Imagine a world where time drifts slowly. A world where music carries you away. Experience Pure Dudes, the perfect soundtrack for your way of life. Direct from Europe, this multi-platinum collection has won the hearts of hundreds. Set adrift with the timeless pleasure of Tubular Bells.
That's tubular, bro.
Or take a trip into the unknown with the motherfucking X-Files theme. No other collection gives you the feeling of Pure Dudes.
Call the number on your screen. Order now. Just $4.99. CD, cassette, and chicken salad available. Coin noises. Welcome to Super Garbage Day, a retro video game review show where we randomly select a game that you choose, usually obscure, 20 years or older, with hopes to find them treasures and them their trashes, or maybe just have some fun along the way. I am your host, B. Ross. The Super Garbage Bowl is underway, so expect the second episode to come out sometime this week. I'm thinking maybe near the end of the week, but it's going to be the remaining eight games on the west side of the, not the neighborhood, but the west side of the bracket. So come and check that out. I will be posting that on a YouTube, and the episode will be on the Patreon. Merch store will also be live around this time. By the time you hear this, we will have a merch store link. So far, two shirt designs. Check out the show notes for a brand new link in there. It'll say merch. If you want to join the Discord, the good news is it's free. You can meet the community, you can share your hobbies and interests, or you can contribute to the retro question of the week, which we pull directly out of there. And since my boy has moved up on the world and now lives in the big city, we will be changing the format a little bit. But hopefully we have Mr. Miller coming back on the episodes in the future. So without wasting anybody else's time, let's start with the retro question of the week. This one comes from Genghis Khan Jovi. Great name. And they ask, what mini console would you like to see released next? Well, that is a great question. And before I answer that, I want to read off a couple of my friends' answers. I posted this on Threads. Is that what it's called? Threads? This new thing? Twitter thing? By Instagram? And Van Fernal chimed in and said, a Saturn Mini. The Saturn is a console that had some bangers, but unfortunately it didn't do well in the West. On top of that, it's practically hard to emulate. So there's no good way of playing a lot of those games. Interesting. Saturn is a system I actually played probably the least. I don't think I've played a Saturn game at all. So therefore, I wouldn't mind it. That'd be great. Bar Silence and I Miss the 90s and also High Score High Stakes podcast all said Dreamcast or the Nintendo 64 day one purchases. I agree there. My choice would be Dreamcast because I love that system. It's super underrated. I bought that system $99.99 with practically all of the launch titles. Power Stone. Oh, I would love a Dreamcast Mini. But how would they do the VMU and the controllers is my only concern. And the Main Quest podcast says a 3DO Mini, which I'm one of those few people that actually played a 3DO when it came out. My uncle bought one and I played the living crap out of it. And later on in life, I ended up buying a 3DO pretty cheap and revisited it. Oh my God. Nothing on the 3DO has aged well, with an exception to maybe Gex, but everything else is awful. But if they released a 3DO Mini, hell yeah, I'm on deck. Woo. All right. So now we're going to move on to the next segment of the show, which is called, What Are You Playing? Mega Man X2. That's what I was playing all last week. That's it. So this one's going by pretty fast. I dumped a lot of time into this week's game, and I have a lot to talk about. So, you know what? Let's just get right into it. This week's game, chosen from our Patreon, is Mega Man X2. On the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. Yeah! Mega Man X2 is a video game developed by Capcom for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. The game was released in North America and PAL regions about 1995. It is a direct sequel to Mega Man X, released 1 year prior. Almost exactly 1 year prior, which is crazy. Mega Man X2 takes place in the future, in which humans try to peacefully coexist with intelligent robots called Reploids. And some of the Reploids are going maverick and threatening daily life. The plot follows the android protagonist X, a maverick hunter, who has saved humanity from the evil Sigma 6 months earlier. A trio of mavericks calling themselves the X Hunters has arisen, intent on destroying X by luring him with body parts of his comrade Zero, who died in the conflict with Sigma. Woof! Lot of lore in this one. Lot of lore. So let's get right into those first impressions. All right. Immediately, this game looks, sounds, and feels like the first game of the series. The intro explained how this game storyline takes place 6 months after X battled and defeated Sigma. I wasn't sure if the music playing in the intro scene was supposed to be that fast. It sounded almost like it was at 2X speed. Maybe it was the emulator. I would have liked to play this on the original hardware, but two problems arose. One, it's one of those games that my EverDrive wouldn't play. And two, it's like $180 loose. So, hey, this is the only way I could have played it. Don't kill the messenger. I felt immediately like I was back in the world of Mega Man X. Quick history. The first one I love to death. I think that it's one of the best sounding games. It was in my top 10 SNES soundtracks of all time. I don't know where it fell. I think it was like 6 or something. I don't recall. But if you want to hear that episode, it's on our Patreon. $2 to get you access to all those bonus episodes. If I didn't already mention that. And I'm not surprised since the sequel came out a year later, almost to the date of the release of Mega Man X. That is a lot of work to do. And I wonder what kind of strain that may have put on the developers. But I guess we'll have to find out. So let's talk about the gameplay. By the way, heavy spoilers ahead. I know it's a Mega Man game. I know the stories in Mega Man game aren't the biggest focal point of the experience, but I'm going to explain the entire game to you as I played it last week. So here we go. You play as X with most of his powers from the last game sans the robot weapons. So you have like your wall jumping and everything. Your objective is to hunt down and defeat the 8 robot mavericks and the 3 X hunters. You can choose any level at will, but in true Mega Man fashion, there is an optimal path to take since every boss has a weakness to a weapon upgrade you obtain from defeating a boss prior or just a different maverick. Along the way, you can also obtain these special abilities like air dash. You get like a double Mega Buster Blast. The boss weapons get charged up special attacks. Like think like Super Ghouls and Ghosts. As well as some silly like discover hidden areas scanner thing that I thought was stupid. You can also improve your health bar and store your energy tanks through these hidden upgrades that are like all throughout the stages. Speaking of the stages, let me just walk you through every boss because why not? It's a solo episode. So I started with Wire Sponge. Not only a stupid boss name, but literally a killer robot pickle. It's what he looks like. He looks like a crazy robot pickle. Wire Sponge does have an awesome stage, though, and it really shows off the impressive graphics of the Super Nintendo. So they use various weather effects throughout it. The background looks amazing. There's great parallax scrolling. I just everything about it's beautiful. You're going to hear me say this a lot throughout this review. And this was the first level I completed in the game. I wasn't sure if I was going in the right order or if I was supposed to be going in this order. But I got to Wire Sponge. He's the weirdest character I think I've ever seen in a Mega Man series thus far. I've never played this game before prior to last week, and I have not played any of the X games past this. But I can tell you right now, Wire Sponge is a weird looking robot, dude. So beat him. Then I went to Wheel Gator. Also not the scariest title for a Maverick. But this is a dope level. Okay. Ultimately, it's giant alligator tank. You start outside of and end up at the end in the head for the boss encounter. Also, you get to play around in the beefy return of the ride armor from the first game, but you're only in it for like a second. I don't know why they did this. This happened a lot in this game. You come across these vehicles and you just barely use them. You either use them just for one part that you actually, it's not necessary to have them, or you use them to try to get, a health upgrade or an E-tank. By the way, this game upgrades your health bar every time you find a heart, like a large heart, which I thought was cool. Like, you know, you start with a smaller bar and then it gets really, really big. Thought that was cool. I forget if they did that in the first Mega Man X. It's been so long since I played it, but I mean, I played the living crap out of it. Wheel Gator was, it's a stupid name. It's hard to say without a twang, like Wheel Gator later. Okay, that's dumb. So you fight him in like this oil, and he was the first boss I fought where I was kind of getting mad because he's a kind of boss. It takes time to beat. You got to like wait around, wait for your moment, and then just start blasting him. And then this game does this thing where when the bosses get low on health, they do this like secondary attack, or they have this ability that comes out of nowhere, or they like transform into a different iteration of themselves. And I think that's cool, but also very frustrating when you're just using the Buster, because once you figure out the weapons, you know, it's just kind of almost too easy. And also, after you beat a couple of the bosses, the X Hunters will kind of introduce themselves into the game, even though they're hinted at in the beginning, and they will randomly start popping up in levels, like in the midway point of levels. Like every level has an area. I don't know if it's every level, but almost all the levels I went to have an area that's you either can go through the door or not. But if you go through the door, that means you're about to fight one of the X Hunters. They're on that island at that moment, which I thought was kind of cool. So, and if you defeat the X Hunter, you get one piece of Zero's body, which is morbid and weird, but also kind of cool. But you know, that whole them randomly being moved around every time you beat a stage and go on to another one, it wasn't executed, I think, as well as it could have been. The next boss I encountered was Bubble Crab. I don't get these names, man. This level was like equal parts cool and annoying. It's an underwater level, so, you know, not my favorite levels ever in any video game. For the most part, it's underwater. There's a section where the water kind of halfway drains. There's a really interesting stealth mechanic in this level where this large robot fish kind of like floats by and scans. And if you fall under its scanner, it shoots like a laser. It also shoots out missiles, and the thing takes a million hits to destroy. However, I thought it was kind of cool. You can kind of zoom past it too. There's a point in that level though where you kind of have to wait and whatever. It's fine. There's not much to this level really other than that. And then you fight Bubble You fight Cracker Barrel Bubble Crab himself. And he's actually kind of challenging. Unless you know the weapon to use, that is case pretty much for all the Maverick bosses. But yeah, Bubble Crab is really hard with just Mega Buster or other weapons. But I don't want to give away like which ones you're supposed to attack with. And I think the order I went in isn't the correct order. But I also want to advocate for the new abilities outside of the boss weapons, like the air dash and the double charge Buster attack. And like the charged up boss weapons attack is extremely awesome and very much welcomed. I think that is the biggest upgrade from X1 to X2. And I absolutely adored it. The next stage is Flame Stag. And I think that this might be my favorite boss. He looks cool. His name is cool. His whole stage is like a magma mountain with like lava, and there's a lot of wall climbing, and there's this like weird, crazy mechanical beetle that tries to like slam into you, and you can use it to like break open walls or even ride on top of it. And then it'll to get to maybe like an E-tank or a heart. The stage is, you better get really comfortable with wall jumping, because the lava parts will, the lava will start to rise, and you just got to get up there as fast as you can. And I see this happening a lot throughout the game, not just with the lava, but there is as the game progresses further, a lot of jumping on walls, man. That's one of the biggest things about this game is like you're just always jumping off walls almost in every stage, especially near the end of the game, where you have to make like pixel perfect jumps in some areas to either get a really special weapon or even just get to the last boss, which I had issue with. All right, the next level after Flamestag I went to was called the Robot Junkyard, which is like a pretty cool concept and visually stunning. Like there were some really unique enemies that remind me of like the movie Alien, like facehugger enemies. And the theming was spot on. I mean, so far in this game, the theming of the levels is incredible. Absolutely incredible. There's also a really cool little mid boss here in this level that is like an old pile of robot parts that's possessed by one of those facehugger things, and you have to fight it. I thought that was cool and pretty neat. So the the boss of this level, though, their name is Morph Moth, and let me tell you, I hate that name. That name does not roll off the tongue well. Morph Moth. You have to. It's like saying Arnold Palmer. Like you have to. Ugh. You have to slow down when you talk to say it. Morph Moth. Oh, God. Terrible. Anyways, this boss isn't that hard. Even with like the Mega Buster. As long as you're good at dodging and jumping. Spoiler alert. Use the flame weapon. This boss is really easy. I think it's one of the easiest bosses in the game. Following the Morph Moth is my least favorite boss in the game. And by that, I mean the most frustrating one. As this level frustrated me, this boss took me 10 tries to eventually beat, even with knowing the item I'm supposed to use against the weakness for this Maverick. And that's Magna Centipede. By the way, I think it was supposed to be Magnet Centipede, but it's Magna, like magma almost. I don't know if that's the correct way. It should have been called Magnet Centipede. I don't know. Maybe it's a translation thing, or maybe I'm just dumb and Magna means magnet. But this level, I don't like this level. It takes place in some weird like security facility. It has this annoying spotlight stealth thing going on that's like, if you mess that up, you screw up the rest of the level and it's just going to be more annoying. It's also really hard to get past all the spotlights without like triggering it. There's a mini boss in this area that I don't understand. You're getting scanned at one point by who knows what, and then like the scan goes into this mini boss, and this mini boss literally takes like a million hits. I was bored by it. All you do is jump over him shooting, and that's it. Jump over, shoot him. Jump over, shoot him. Jump over, shoot him. Not over him, just over him shooting at you. I wish I could explain that in a sentence that didn't sound like it came out of a drunk fourth grader's mouth, but I don't have the best vocabulary in the world, so you're gonna have to deal with it. Also, I didn't come up with Morph Moth, so you ain't got that. Anyways, when you get to Magna Centipede, he's one of those teleporting enemies. Another one of those bosses that you have to wait a little bit to attack. You don't really know where he's going to show up, and it takes a long time. It's really time-consuming. Near the end of his life bar, he will actually grab you and start draining you of your abilities. Like, all of a sudden, you can't double jump. Or you can't use your Mega Buster. And I was so mad when I finally got him close to defeat and he just took away all of my powers. And I was like, you son of a bitch. Ugh. So, yeah, that guy sucks. I don't know if maybe we all play these games differently. And perhaps I just maybe Flamestag or somebody else that was frustrating for other game players, but not me. I don't know. It's Mega Man. Who knows? Everybody plays games differently. But yeah, he was, I was pulling my hair out until I figured out his pattern and what weapon to use. And you know what's weird, too, is you actually come back to this level later on in the game. I'll talk about that later. So following that, you are then visiting the beautiful Crystal Snail level, and it's graphically gorgeous. Also, you once again get to mess around with the ride armor, but again, for like a minute. And there's a lot of like Indiana Jones style hazards that you're running away from, that big giant diamond things that are sliding down that'll insta kill you. It's all right. The level's okay. It's really pretty. It's one of the prettiest levels I think in the game, but it's not really anything to write home about. This boss is super hard. Yet again, another boss you kind of have to wait because it's a Snell character. I do like this boss. I like its design. I don't like its name. By the way, Crystal Snell sounds like the opposite of crystal meth. Yeah. Of all these bosses, the Maverick with hands down the funniest name and silliest concept is Overdrive Ostrich. Like, who came up with these names? This level introduces briefly, and to my knowledge, the only time in the game, the speeder bike or the hover bike, which explodes if you touch a wall or an enemy with it. So I found it. I was like, hell yeah, jumped on it, ran into an enemy, it exploded. And I was like, it was almost comical on my first impression video. I was like, all right, whatever. And then I was looking around, I couldn't find another one. Luckily, further down in the first stretch of the level, it does respawn another one. So otherwise, that was gonna be a very Seinfeld moment for me. I found this level to be like weird. It had a lot of unnecessary flair. Like the sandstorm machine is in the middle. It's in the game for like 20 seconds. You blow it up, it doesn't change anything. I think they're just kind of flexing on the graphics, showing off. Yeah, at one point you get to this missile silo that had me scratching my head. Like, what is this doing here? What does this have to do with anything? Then you jump on the missile and it takes off and you just start shooting it. It explodes. And then you fall onto this like highway. And this is where you fight Overdrive Ostrich, which, mind you, he looks silly. The name is stupid as fuck. But man, it's a cool boss fight because you can see him in the background running in the distance and he jumps forward. It's kind of like, and you can just keep running either left or right. I think it's a really cool boss fight. And I like the idea that it's, I don't know, this game did a lot of things different than the first one by making the background really apparent artistically. Also, conceptually with certain gameplay aspects of like, okay, well, you got to see where he's going to jump from. But if you line up where he jumps from, even if you move, he still falls on your head, which I thought was kind of weak. But anyways, you beat him. He's not that hard. And once you get his pattern down, just like every Maverick in this game. So, but after you beat all those 8 Mavericks, you then have to complete the X Hunter stages, which is practically like Wily's Castle levels. I was extremely disappointed in these. They had no theme. They had no real pizzazz, and they all felt like endurance challenges, like parkouring. The X-Hunters are Violin, who is a huge spike ball-wielding ape. Surges, which it's one of the two. I don't know, guys. I can't. My pronunciation skills are terrible. And that this X-Hunter is like Dr. Wily kind of dude with a cannonball. And then Agile, who is like super lame-looking and not very hard. But, well, here's my confession, though. I could not beat the Agile stage. It drove me nuts. It was spikes upon spikes and perfectly timed jumps that I couldn't land. I wanted to do the Sigma fight. I had a feeling it was next after this, which takes place, I find out later because I looked it up. It takes place with an encounter with Zero. He's resurrected into the plot, and you either fight him or don't, depending on if you collected his parts earlier in the game. And then, of course, that last stage is where you go to fight Sigma. Strangely enough, is the Magna Centipede stage. You go back to it. And then, I guess, I don't know why. Something tells me that these Wily stages or these X-Hunter stages were the most rushed part of the game. You just feel it. After seeing all the beauty of the levels and their design, then these X-Hunter stages are just... Honestly, I hate to use this word, but... No, I don't. They're garbage. They should have been cooler. So in terms of the gameplay, here's a list of things I like about Mega Man X2. I love the new X upgrades. Like I stated, the mid-air dash, the double Mega Buster shot is super dope and adds more fun and more intensity to the already tight control scheme. Acquiring the upgrade that lets you like charge up your boss weapons into a secondary attack is super badass. And I think the mid-level bosses are pretty delightful and unique. They're different. The plot also is pretty good. I think for a Mega Man game, you don't usually just get, oh, Dr. Wily's trying to take over the world. This was pretty in-depth and kind of a darker Mega Man plot than usual. I thought it was great. I kind of like the idea that Zero is dead and then you have to like somehow bring them back. So let me talk about the things I do not like about Mega Man X2 in regards to gameplay mechanics. The vehicles are barely utilized. They're on the cover. You have the vehicle on the cover. You have the hover bike. It's in the game for like 20 seconds tops. That level, I think all the levels actually seem way shorter than Mega Man X. They seem like they've been made a little harder and a lot shorter. Even though they're pretty and I like the music, well, I'll get to that, but the levels are definitely shorter and I don't know how I feel about that. The radar special upgrade is weak and cheap and stupid. That's unnecessary. That's bad game design, my friends. If you need to obtain a special ability to find super cryptic things that you're never going to find unless you blindly are shooting into every direction, that's bad game design. 101, you can go talk to Simon's Quest if you don't believe me. He'll be at the front counter. Most of the Mavericks and X-Hunter designs are silly, and the names almost seem like bad translations. I mean, when you think about the first game, you had like Armored Armadillo. That's awesome. In this game, you have Morph Moth. I can't get over that. Or what? Wire Sponge. What is a wire sponge? Well, I found out what a wire sponge is. It's a pissed off pickle. So the weapons you obtain after beating the Mavericks, I think, are kind of weak, too. They're nothing really to write home about. There's only like two or three of them that are cool at most. The flame shot, I think, is the best. And it has not only the best attack, but it also has the best upgrade. Or all upgraded blast, you know, the charge blast. If you go around and collect all of the upgrades throughout the game, you become pretty OP quickly. I think that that's kind of bad pacing. The game isn't inherently difficult, and it makes it pretty easy by throwing all of these heart containers at you. You get four E-tanks. I don't think there's a boss you can't beat once you have four of the E-tanks. You're good. You can mess up. That's like practically having four lives without having to restart the fight. The password system is take it or leave it. I don't know. I think it's fine. It's just, weren't Super Nintendo sequels at this point. Let's just do battery save. Or maybe, here's a terrible idea, but what if you just offer both? You could save it or you can use passwords. I don't know. Also, the Mega Man boss select music, which is dear to my heart, is awful in this game. You know what I'm talking about? That thing, that jam basket, that game song sound, it's awful in this. Here, I'm gonna play it right now. This is what it sounds like. What the Massachusetts is that? I want that banger theme. You don't even have to change it. It can just be the original Mega Man 2 boss select staged theme. Just leave that in there. All the Mega Man games, I'll be happy forever. And I want to end my list of negatives with, I think this game is too easy. I know there were some frustrating parts, but I just, it's a Mega Man game. Correct me if I'm wrong. They're known for difficulty, right? Guys, that was a huge gameplay section. So let's go over the super short graphics and audio section. All right. This is the section where the game really shines. Most of its team, I think, is intact from the first Mega Man X, and it shows. However, even though the music is good in Mega Man X 2, it is not nearly as memorable as the first game. Some of the music sounds sped up, like I stated earlier, and I found certain sound effects to be really tinny and kind of like ear-piercing. I'm not sure if that's an emulator situation or not, or a result of using a certain emulator, but somebody correct me if I'm wrong on that. However, the visuals of Mega Man X2, I'm going to say, without any argument, are some of the best on the console. I love the backgrounds of almost every level. I love the enemy designs. I love the theming. The theming is so good. The weapon effects look amazing. There's a lot of special effects that go on, not just in the foreground, but in the background. Honestly, this is an extremely gorgeous game, and I think it's a humongous step up graphically from its predecessor. So I couldn't give it higher praise as far as graphics are concerned. So with all that said, let me give you My verdict. Mega Man X2 is a fantastic sequel to one of the most popular Super Nintendo games of all time. Its gameplay upgrades are impressive and add another layer of strategy and fun to a blueprint that already felt perfected, right? The only downside to this entry is that it's got really uninspired boss names and they're just kind of weird characters. The soundtrack isn't nearly as good. Soundtrack isn't nearly as good as the first. And there's a gigantic ramp down in difficulty. I can't consider this better than Mega Man X, but it is a fun experience, and I think it's worth everybody's time, especially if you are a fan of the Mega Man franchise. I'm placing Mega Man X 2 at an A-. Woo! There you go, everybody. You know what time it is. If you're a $5 patron, you can put a game in our Patreon pool, which I pull from every week, and that is the next episode. So let's do that right now. Let's spin that wheel! Okay. The game for next week is on the Sega Genesis. Oh, no. Oh, no. I don't think we played a good Genesis game yet. It is a game based off a popular movie series. It is a game that is an action side-scrolling kind of platformer. It is kind of a sequel. It's about dinosaurs. And that game is Jurassic Park Rampage Edition on the Sega Genesis. Grab a copy, fire up your emulator, do whatever you got, because we're going to the prehistoric times to shoot some motherfucking dinosaurs in their goddamn faces. Remember, we have a Patreon. For $2, you get access to 20 plus extra episodes of two shows we have. Wow, that was the highest whistle I've ever done in my podcast career. And I also said podcast, so this is, oh boy, we're ending strong, aren't we? For $2, you can get access to our Patreon-exclusive shows, Backlog Eternal and Retro Deep Cuts. If you like what you hear here, you really love those shows. They are unedited. There's a lot of cuss words. It's like being in the den with friends, you know. For $5, you get access to all that. Plus, like I said, once a month, you get to add a game to our Patreon pool. And it stays in that pool until it is chosen. Of course, I say this because everything you guys do, even just listening or being a patron, supports the show and keeps it alive and keeps it going forward. So with all of my heart in my hand, I say thank you very much for being a part of the show and giving me time to talk in your ear about retro stuff. Love you very much and have a super garbage day. Cut to B. Thank you for listening to my dad. And I just want to say, thanks, everybody, guys. Bye!
That's not his real voice!